You're listening to the Westchester Podcast, an official podcast of the New York City Church of Christ.
Just how well do you know this person, for instance? How well do you know that person? Anybody know them? Anybody? Yeah. How about this person? Anybody know who they are? How about this person? Anybody know who they are? I mean, I know a bunch of people here have actually met him. I know the entire Bremer family has met them. How about, anybody know who she is? Okay. How about this guy? Anybody know who that is? Okay, I have one more. Anybody know who he is? Anybody know? Really, not everybody knows him? I thought everybody would know him. I mean, Joe Rayo, isn't the weather important to us? I mean, isn't that what Joe does? You know, but how well do they know us? Well, turn over to Acts chapter 19. And there's a really crazy example there in Acts chapter 19 of knowing, being known, or how well do you know someone. Because today what we want to talk about is being known at the throne. That's what's really important, is for us to be known by God. Because God is the highest authority of all, and it's God's heart and desire that we be close to Him. That there's nothing God wants more than for us to have a full personal relationship with the Creator of the universe. To not just know God, but be known by God. That we have the best possible intimate relationship that we can have. And so we're going to go back 2,000 years ago, and we're only going to look at three scriptures today. The first one's the craziest. This one's kind of crazy. So Acts chapter 19, verse 13. It says, some Jews who went around driving out evil spirits tried to invoke the name of the Lord Jesus over those who were demon-possessed. And of course, this was happening in the first century. Jesus acknowledged it. He said to the Pharisees, by whom do your people drive out demons? By whose authority? And so it was happening in the first century, and so people were doing this. It says these Jews would say, in the name of the Jesus whom Paul preaches, I command you to come out. Seven sons of Sceva, a Jewish chief priest, were doing this. One day, the evil spirit answered them, Jesus, I know. And Paul, I know about, but who are you? Then the man who had the evil spirit jumped on them and overpowered them all. He gave them such a beating that they ran out of the house naked and bleeding. Can you picture that? Maybe you don't want to picture that. But this is quite a thing that was happening here. These seven sons of this Jewish chief priest, they had heard about the power of Jesus. And they wanted to give this thing a whirl. They wanted to take a test drive on the name of Jesus. And so they tried it out. But instead of performing an exorcism, they got beat up. And beat up badly. They barely survived. They ran out of the house naked and bleeding. So did it work for them? What was wrong? Why didn't this thing work for them? Well, it's that old adage. It's not what you know that counts. It's who you know. And they didn't know Jesus. They didn't have a personal relationship with Jesus. It's not the name of Jesus that counts. It's the relationship. The power is all in the relationship. If we're connected, personally connected, with an intimate relationship with the Creator of the universe, that is very, very powerful. But if all we know is the name of Jesus, we're just going to get beat up. The demons actually said it best. They said, Jesus, I know. And I know about Paul, but who are you? Jesus is known at the throne. Paul is known at the throne. But how about these guys? Nope, not enough. It takes a personal relationship with the Creator of the universe to tap into that kind of power. But that's what God is wanting for all of us. That's the beauty of it. God literally wants with you and I, everyone in here, a powerful vertical connection with the Creator of the universe. I would say in Westchester, wouldn't you agree with me that most people have heard of Jesus? It's kind of like Oprah or Angelina Jolie, Bill Clinton. I mean, we all have heard of these people. Some of us have met them. So most people in Westchester have heard about Jesus. Many call in the name of Jesus. I dare say that a lot of people swear the name of Jesus. Many have a deep knowledge of Jesus, but I would say very few people really do what it takes to have a deep, personal relationship with Jesus. So here we have an example in Acts 2,000 years ago where these guys were fooled. I mean, they were fooled into believing that they had all this power, that they could cast out these demons without a relationship with Jesus. And instead, they just got badly beat up. But today it's sad. Today, because I think a lot of people are fooled into believing that all it takes is just knowing the name Jesus. Or all it takes is just going to church. Or all it takes is just saying you're a Christian. Or all it takes is just acknowledging some stuff about Jesus. And that's all it is. But that's not a personal relationship. We know a lot about Oprah, don't we? I would never want to be that kind of celebrity where people knew all this stuff about me and I didn't know them at all. That would freak me out. That would just creep me out. But boy, with God, I want God to know me. I want God to know everything about me. I want to be able to tap into that power to change my character, to change my insecurities, to change my weaknesses to become strengths. That's what I want. I'm looking for God to come in and transform me to be someone different. And I'm sure you do too. But let's not fool ourselves. It's going to take a whole lot more than just acknowledging Jesus to have that kind of power of transformation in our lives. See, these demons, the demons knew that these guys calling on Jesus didn't have a relationship with Jesus, and so what they did, they just beat him up. And I think a lot of times we're getting beat up, aren't we? We just keep getting beaten up and beaten up. How do we change this? We'll go over to Matthew chapter 7, and here's the second scripture. This one's not crazy. This one's kind of startling about knowing God, how well to know God. And then the last scripture we're going to look at is really going to bring everything together. The last scripture is very powerful about how we can have a deep personal relationship with Jesus. Because we want this power. We want to get close to this power. We want to access this power. And so according to Matthew chapter 7, it all has to do with God's will. Matthew chapter 7 verse 21. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. So that's kind of startling just in and of itself, right? Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. So even if we acknowledge Jesus as Lord, even if we accept Jesus as Lord, it still doesn't mean we're getting in. That's scary. What does it say? Only he who what? Does the will of the Father. What if you don't know the will of the Father? It's because you haven't read the Bible. Because it's easy to know the will of God. You just get into Scripture, you open up the Scriptures, and you start reading through the Gospels. And boy, I tell you, once you start really reading the Bible, you'll realize, God really wants me to know this stuff. He really wants me to connect with the Bible, because it just starts opening up to you. And you start realizing that the Bible understands your heart, and the Bible understands your emotions, and the Bible understands your weaknesses, and wow, you feel a connection with the Bible, and you just say, whoa, this has got to be the Word of God. This is powerful. Before I really read the Bible, I just thought it was just some inspired book. I just put it in the shelf with all the other inspired books. But when I really got in and started really reading and praying, God help me understand this, it just popped in my soul. And part of it I didn't like. Part of it I just wanted to slam the Bible shut and forget I even saw this. Because it was exposing my sin. It was exposing my selfishness and my impurity and my greed. And I'm like, I don't want to hear this bad news. You know what happens when you do that? You slam it shut and you ignore it. Does that work? Why doesn't that work? It's too late. It's just too late. You already saw it. So what happens? You have to go back again. Because now we need the solution. Because God doesn't want to leave you feeling just all beat up. He wants to give you the solution to build you up. God's goal is not for us to be beat up by the world and left bleeding and running out of the house naked. His goal for all of us is that we connect with God to such a level that we feel secure and we have the power of God in our lives to not only transform us to be like Jesus, the power to do His will, the power to connect with what He wants to do on earth, the power for Jesus to live through us. That power. That's where all of us want to go. Whether we know it or not, because we were designed that way. God actually designed us to need that connection. That vertical connection, to be empowered by God, for God to live through us, connect with other people, and be victorious. And we all want that. All of us want to be victorious. I don't think anybody walked into church today saying, you know what, I just want to fail today. You know what, I just want to feel really bad today with the church service. I really hope the church service just makes me really depressed and feeling badly about myself. No, hopefully you all prayed in your car, God, please let Jim Brown or whoever's speaking say something that's going to help me, something that's going to encourage me, something that's going to build me up. And God loves that. That's what God wants for you. He wants to build you up. Jesus did not die on a cross for you to live a discouraged, faithless, defeated life. He died on a cross for you to live a victorious life, to have power over sin, to have power over insecurity, to have power over those voices that keep trying to drag you down into the muck and mire. That's our God. That's our Jesus. So He says in Matthew chapter 7, verse 21, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and in your name drive out demons and in your name perform many miracles? Then I will tell them plainly, I never what? Boy, that's scary. I never knew you. What do you mean you never knew them? What were they doing? How can Jesus say He didn't know them? What were they doing? They were saying, Lord, Lord. They were prophesying in His name. And what else were they doing? Driving out demons. How can Jesus say He never knew them? Because again, the power is not just in the name. The power is in the connection. It's really knowing God. I know we all know about Jesus, but do you really know Jesus? Are you known by Jesus? Are you known at the throne? Because these people were completely deceived into believing that they were going to heaven, and they weren't. And boy, I tell you, I don't want to be deceived in that way. I'm open to being deceived in probably some... So I don't know. I'm probably open to that. But I'll tell you one thing. I desperately do not want to fall into this trap. On the last day, I sure don't want to be deceived. On the last day, that's a time where you don't want to be deceived. I mean, I can buy a lemon of a car and be deceived that, yeah, the oil was changed every single time and then find out a month later that the gaskets are going out and that the car is a lemon. I'm fine with that. But boy, I tell you, I don't want to reach the throne of Jesus and on the last day have Him say, I never knew you. But Jesus, I was a minister in your church. I was an evangelist. I got up and preached every Sunday. What do you mean you didn't know me? And He goes, I didn't have the connection. You didn't do my will. You did your will. You see, just in isolating the scripture, it all boils down to whose will are you doing? Who are you living for? Are you living for you or are you living for Jesus? Are you living that your will be done through your life and just add a little Christianity, add a little worship service, add a little Jesus? But still your will, you're just sort of modifying your will for a little bit of Christianity here and there. Or are you replacing your will with the will of Jesus? That, there's quite a difference here. Christianity is not a self-improvement plan. It's a Christ replacement plan. It's not good enough to just change your life a little bit and be a true Christian. You have to literally replace it with Jesus. What's God's goal? That Jesus would live through you. Jesus walked on the earth. He had a 3-year ministry, and now He's up in heaven. And He's empowered His disciples to basically be little Jesuses. And the only way that's going to happen is if we deny our will and let Jesus' will be done through our life. That's where the power is. When God lives through you, when God is being expressed through you, it's not your power, it's all God's power. Isn't that beautiful? What we learn from this scripture is Jesus isn't looking for wonders and miracles. He's simply looking that His will be done. And we pray this as we talked about last week in the Lord's Prayer. In the Lord's Prayer, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. And then what's the next part? Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done. So we're saying the same thing in two ways. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done. Those are identical. It's the exact same thing. Thy kingdom come means that His will is done. But how is His will done? His will's done how? What's the next verse? On earth as it is in heaven. In other words, literally what we're praying is that God's will be done through us in the exact same way that it's done in heaven. That basically this becomes heaven. I mean, not literally heaven, but when it comes to will, that our, as disciples of Jesus Christ, as true Christians, we literally deny our will and we let the will of Jesus live through our lives. That's amazing. That's amazing. Can you imagine how the fellowship would be with that full expression of Jesus living through us? Isn't that amazing? How your day would go. Now, we all have the weaknesses. We're all going to have our struggles. We're all going to have to deny ourselves. Even Jesus admitted at one point in His life, He didn't want to do God's will. When was that? In the garden, when He said, "Not My will, but Yours be done." Jesus was admitting He didn't even want to do the will of the Father at that point. So we're all going to struggle. But the victory is that God promises He will lift us up. He will empower us to be able to connect with Jesus living through us and a full expression of His love in us. So let's end with the last scripture. Let's go to the last scripture. 1 John chapter 2. Let's pull the Apostle John into this discussion. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 3. And this is a great scripture to encourage us. 1 John chapter 2, verse 3. We know that we have come to know Him. And it's all about knowing God, being known by God and knowing God. We have come to know Him if, what? We keep His commands. So can we know if we know God? Can we have confidence that we have a personal relationship with Jesus? Yeah, what do we, according to this, it's keeping His commands. Now, are His commands difficult? Let's review what they are. How many commands did Jesus really give us? 1, 2, 1. What's the first one? What's the greatest command? To love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your mind, all your soul, and all your strength. Is that hard? I think what makes it hard is the word all. Because if it simply said, love the Lord your God with soul, strength, mind, you know, that wouldn't be so bad because then it wouldn't matter how much. You know, as long as each day we do at least 5%, we're probably okay. I think what makes it challenging is that it says we have to love the Lord. And this is the greatest commandment, by the way. This isn't just a commandment. This is the commandment to love the Lord your God with all. Wow. How much of me can get in there? Well, that seems so unfair. Isn't that unfair? What about my dreams? What about my will? What about what I want? I don't like liver. I'd rather have chicken. What about my desires? What about... Do you trust God? That's the next question. Do you trust Him? Because God isn't trying to rob you of your joy. He's actually trying to replace it with divine joy. He's not trying to rob you of all your fun. He's trying to replace it with something far greater than fun. A relationship with the Creator of the universe. That the way to know God, the way to be known by God, is to actually practice love. And it starts with love for God. To love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. To deny what you want, your interests, your dreams, your preferences, and just say, you know what? It doesn't matter what I want. It only matters what God wants to do through me. God, please, live through me. Let mold me, make me, use me, express through me. I just want you to live through me in my life. And what that's going to take is enough trust to do it His way and not your way. What's the second command? Is that hard? Depends, right? Wouldn't it be nice if all of us were perfect? And then that wouldn't be hard. You see, if everyone were perfect, it would be so easy to love everyone, right? It'd be great. I mean, love is patient, love is kind, it does not envy, does not boast, is not proud, is not rude, is not self-seeking, is not easily angered, keeps no record of wrongs. I mean, if we were perfect, there wouldn't be a record of wrongs. If we're all perfect, we could be patient with everyone. In fact, we wouldn't be patient, because patience is long-suffering, there would be no suffering. There would be no reason to be patient, right? It would all be so automatic, but that's not how God made us. God made us sinful, allowed us to choices, and those choices made us sinful. And so, wow, we can say, God, it's not my fault, but it was our choice. And so is this our choice. We can choose to love even when you don't want to. We can choose to be patient when you don't want to be patient. Or kind when you don't want to be kind. You can burn the list of sins that you've compiled on your spouse secretly in your heart. That can be burned and should be burned. You can burn all the list of the person at work that you really don't click with. You need to burn that list of wrongs and love them anyway. Jesus was offended, flogged, beaten, and crucified. And yet, He forgave everyone that did that out of love because He wanted God's will to be lived in His life and not His own. This is saying that to get to know God, we have to keep His commands. God's not looking for casting out demons or miracles or even saying, Lord, Lord, or even accepting Jesus as Lord. To really accept Jesus as Lord means you submit to His will in your life. That you practice His commands with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. It goes on to say in verse 4, this is kind of scary in verse 4, whoever says I know Him but does not do what He commands is a... Wow, that is powerful. says, whoever says, I know him, but does not do what he commands is a liar, and the truth is not in that person. So, wow. So that means we can say, I'm a Christian, I'm a disciple, I'm saved, I'm going to heaven, but we don't do God's will. What does that make us? Yeah, hypocritical and deceived, because we really think we're getting to heaven, but because we're not practicing the commands, we're not really loving God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. We're not really seeking His will. We're just incorporating in enough Christianity to be safe. We're not looking to be all that devoted to Jesus. We just want to get to first base safe. We just want to get Him to heaven. The problem with that is you're missing out on everything. All the joys of Christianity. All the fulfillment of Christianity. All the full richness of the power of God. You're going to miss out on. Because it's a compromised life. We must have the trust and faith to be fully invested in Jesus by carrying out His commands. Are they hard? It depends. If you have one foot in the world and one foot in Jesus, that's going to be really tough. Because the boats are just going to... I'm not Ray. I can't do that. It's going to be tough. You know, there are times in my life where I've really struggled with doing God's will. And it hasn't been happy times. But when those moments when I've surrendered and said, God, not my will, but yours be done, and I don't really care what I want anymore, just live through me, make me, mold me, use me, white flag, I surrender, I tell you, it goes well. These commands are not burdensome. They are doable. We can do these things. And this is good news. Isn't this good news? God's goal is love. Look at verse 5. But if anyone obeys His word, love for God is truly made complete in them. This is how we know we are in Him. Whoever claims to live in Him must live as Jesus did. So if you claim to be a Christian, if you claim to be a disciple, that literally means you're living as Jesus did. That literally means you're acquiescing every day to Jesus' will. It literally means that you're laying down your will at the foot of the cross and saying, Jesus, You live through me. This is how God's love is truly made complete in us. Verse 5, by obeying His word, by doing His will. We were created by the Creator of the universe to have an intimate relationship with God. A vertical, intimate relationship. That's why the Bible says we've been adopted as His children. Literally adopted to be co-heirs with Jesus. And that Jesus isn't just walking with us. We're actually in Jesus. Jesus is in us, living through us. That the Creator of the universe wanted love to be complete in us. That we would be completed by love. And love is power. There's nothing more powerful than love. And as 1 Corinthians 13 says, love never fails. So picture with me this. Picture with me. That when we surrender, when we say, Your will be done, when we choose to love God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, love is made complete in us. What does this mean? It means love is patient, complete patience. Love is kind. It does not envy, does not boast. It is not proud. It is not rude. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. All of that being complete in us. All of that love filling our lives and our souls. All that power and security and wonder and joy and aura. That's what I want. I want that. I want that completeness. And I think it's okay to be greedy about this. Don't you? Don't you think it's okay to be greedy about love? Greedy wanting God's will to be expressed in you, wanting God's love to be fulfilled in you, completed in love? all that peace and patience and kindness and gentleness and security and self-control and no record of wrongs. And boy, we get up in the morning visionary. What is God going to do with me today? I hope all of us will join together in this goal, that this is what we want. We don't want to just know who God is. We don't want to hear about God. We want to know Jesus intimately, personally. We want to know Him and be known by Him, to be known at the throne, and have that kind of walk with Jesus, that we're walking with Jesus every day. We're talking to Jesus all day long. And if we suddenly die, boom, we're in front of the throne of Jesus, right? Is there going to be any insecurity there? Not at all. Why wouldn't there be any insecurity? Because when you're walking with Jesus every day and Jesus is living through you, see the power of God being expressed through your life, you know God. You know Jesus. And so when you stand in front of the throne, you're like, yes! You're finally connecting physically, because it's a physical resurrection. You're connecting physically. It's going to be the greatest, greatest, awesome day, because you're connecting with your best friend. The one you've been talking to every day, all day. The one you've been wanting to be like in your heart. The one you've been praying to be like and praying that God would just live through you. And all day you're just wanting that so much and desiring that and connecting with that so much. So at the last day, it's reality. It's like, wow, I get to be with Jesus. That's what Jesus wants for all of us. Please don't leave here today unresolved about your relationship with Jesus. Please don't leave here today if you know you've got a compromised life going on. Do not leave this auditorium, this chapel, without making a decision to change. And what are we talking about here in a practical sense? Most of us in here have somebody we can talk to. So text that person and say, we need to talk. Exclamation, 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 send. Okay? Do not leave here today without making a decision and making something happen that your relationship with God is going to get on straight. That you're going to make this thing happen. Because not only will you be welcomed into heaven, but you will have power on earth to be able to change, to be able to be what God wants us to be, that His love would be made complete in us because we obey His Word, because we love God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and we love our neighbor as ourselves. Amen.